We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning, a happy Saturday to everyone, and welcome to Wrestling with the Basics. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in the beautiful streets of South St. Louis. Fabulous fall foliage this time of year. Picturesque.
Yeah, our trees have pretty leaves, too. And we're actually out in the rural area there, so it's a beautiful drive to come to either St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, or if you want a little longer rural drive, you can drive all the way out to Darmstadt, Illinois, where Trinity is located. Yes, and I'm Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky, and this is
Wrestling with the Basics. It is a beautiful drive out to New Athens. It really is. Yeah. The Kaskaskia River, just picturesque. Very nice.
Yep. What I want to do before we go any further, because I understand you want to talk something about 2 Timothy. Is that right?
Yeah, I sure do.
And I know how you just ramble on and on and on, so I better get my 2 cents in first. Well, you know, Matt, seriously, what I was thinking is that, you know, you listen to these debates and all this campaigning going on, and it seems, tell me about it. It's so self-serving, right? Hillary, Donald, it doesn't make a difference. Everything they say is just for their own good, for their own benefit, so self-serving.
I'm guessing they both want to be elected president, don't
they?
That's
what, you get that impression,
don't you? It's starting to get the impression.
But I think what we should do in our show, we would like to highlight people, organizations that are not self-serving, but who really have been dedicated to trying to help, well, people like you and me and people like our listeners. So I think we'll do this periodically. We'll just, like I said, groups, people, organizations that are representing the kind of service that we would represent here in Wrestling with the Basics.
Excellent. Something that characterizes what we stand for.
Exactly.
Oh, perfect.
So we want to say a thank you, a big thank you for Nabisco, and particularly Nabisco's Oreo cookies today. These people are all concerned about you and me, Matt. That's what it's all about, and about our dear listeners. Let me give you some stats about 40 billion.
Yeah, please give us some stats here.
40 billion Oreos in more than 100 countries around the world.
Enough, holy cow.
Well, yeah, you'll think holy cow. Enough Oreos to go around the earth 5 times.
Holy cow.
There's the holy cow. Wow. 5 times. That really is incredible.
That is. And to think that they started back in 1953, this is why I'm particularly, identify with Oreos, because that's the year I was born, too.
As old as the Oreo.
The same time as I came into the world, so Oreos came into the world. And at that point, they were just the same 12 flowers, 12 dots, 12 dashes per side, and 90 ridges. That's all you got. That same thing, no matter. But now, Matt, have you seen the Oreos today?
There is like a whole Oreo aisle in the grocery store. It's. I think it's getting a little out of hand myself.
And there'll be, oh, no, sir.
It's a little out of hand.
No, it is not. No,
golly.
Because this variety, which includes double stuff, triple double stuff,
triple double stuff? What is it? Even is a triple
double stuff? I have no idea, but it's right here. Mega stuff. Mega stuff. Thins, mini, and now there'll be orange ones, won't they, during Halloween? They'll have orange ones as well. But here's the point. This is not to serve them. This is not for their benefit. No. Listen what they tell us. We know that consumers enjoy variety when it comes to snacking. It's all about us, Matt. So we continuously deliver surprising new tastes and twists on the classic cookie. This is coming from Jane Lutkin, the director for Oreo North America. And we're not even talking about Oreo International.
This is just North America.
That's right. Yes. And I loved her final comment. This helps Oreos stay relevant. And do we not? Is that not what we're all interested in, people? We're interested in relevant Oreos. So again,
of course we are.
A tip of the hat from Matt and John to Nabisco for their wondrous Oreo cookie.
Yes, thank you, Nabisco. But on the other hand, I'm thinking, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, the classic Oreo milk, I mean, you can't beat that.
But again, the point is, they're not self-serving. They're doing this for our good and for our benefit.
Sure they are.
Just like you and me. And by the way, if there's anyone from the Nabisco company listening right now and you want to send us a case of Oreos, well, Matt and I wouldn't mind, would we? We wouldn't object to that at all.
Not at all. Yeah.
So, all right, Matt, what did you want to do? What did you want to do?
All right. Well, let's get back on track here.
Okay.
All right, now, there's no time for foolishness.
You said it, Charlie Brown or Linus, whoever that was. Let's look at the epistle reading that was read recently in many churches. At Ascension where I serve, we've been looking at how we're called to serve, to serve as the priesthood of all believers,
as the
people
Oreos
of God,
do.
Just as the. It's a beautiful analogy.
It is.
Just
Who
as
would've
the
thought?
Good people at Oreo and Nabisco serve us.
Exactly.
They make for a good children's message. Give out Oreos, it'd be a big hit. All right. Well, we're looking at how we're called to serve. So in these letters, 1st and 2nd Timothy, these pastoral epistles or letters they're sometimes called, Paul the Apostle is writing to this younger pastor by the name of Timothy. It's almost like Pastor Jolly John writing a letter to me.
Eat more Oreos.
Eat
it's
more
good
Oreos.
For your stomach.
That's if... If John was writing this letter, this is what I would say. Eat more Oreos, Pastor. But seriously, he's writing to Timothy about serving, about how he's called to serve. But as we read these words, they're not just meant for Timothy, they're meant for us too. So first, I think we should read these words before us in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And
what verse, man?
Well, let's start. Why don't we start with verse 8? And let me set the scene.
Please do.
Yeah, when as pastor types, when we want to impart faith in Christ, when we want to strengthen people in the faith, what do we share? How do you
Jesus.
Do that as a pastor?
Jesus. Yeah, that's
Jesus.
All I ever share.
That's
Jesus.
Pretty simple.
And Oreos.
Yeah. And
but Jesus first.
Yeah, Oreos is a nice bonus.
Yeah.
But Jesus first. And how do we usually, as preachers, share Jesus?
I don't know.
As preachers.
Oh, preachers. Yes, that's right. That's what I usually do. Yeah. In my sermons, yes.
Yeah, in our sermons. So, yeah, my point is this. We do it by speaking God's word.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's a good answer.
Yeah, well, whether we're pastors, whether we're the people of God, we share Jesus through the spoken word. And so we have places like the book of Romans where it talks about faith comes by hearing.
And hearing by the preaching of Christ.
Exactly. Yeah. Amen. So hearing by the preaching of Christ, and not just preaching, but like you said, Christ being preached. But the problem here is, what if God's word can't be preached? What if God's word can't be shared? What if God's word is bound up, chained up, locked away?
How could that be?
Well, that's exactly right. That's what we want to look at today.
Okay.
Is that even possible for that to ever happen? Because as we read what's going on in Paul's life here, we wonder, could that be happening? Could God's word be chained up? Because as Paul writes this letter to Timothy, he's under arrest.
He's in jail. No, house arrest or in jail? Do you know?
Yeah,
what?
He's in jail.
He's
this
in
time.
Jail.
So this
okay.
is really a second time. Whoa, first wow. time, you're right, under house arrest. You know, that's bad enough.
The Huskow?
The Huskow,
the
locked
Graybar
up,
Hotel?
Chained up.
Okay.
Behind bars. That's right. You're somewhere in Rome. Many believe this is probably the last of those writings of Paul that are contained in the scriptures. And so this is sort of his final word to his beloved
friend.
His swan song to his...
I got a new thesaurus, by the way.
I can tell.
So we'll get a lot of that today. A
lot of synonyms. That's great. So to his partner in faith, his brother in ministry, Timothy. Paul really sort of pours his heart out here, knowing that he's likely going to die pretty soon, be executed for sharing that word of God.
Pardon my levity, because you're right. This is a very, very serious text. What would you say, people, if it was the last time you had to write something to your children or a good friend? And that's what Paul's doing here.
Yeah, exactly. So let's read what Paul writes.
Okay.
So we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Why don't we read verses 8? Let's see here, 8 through 10. Why don't we do that?
Okay. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory.
All right. So Paul's saying here, he's bound. He is chained. He admits that. He's bound for sharing Christ, for sharing the word. But he goes on, the word of God is not bound.
Yeah.
Yeah. So important. The word of God is not bound. We look at different times throughout the Bible times, we'll say New Testament scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, and time again, it sure seems like people do try to bind up the word of God, chain it, silence it, get rid of it.
Yeah, even people within the church end up doing that sometimes. Yeah.
Well, sure, if we don't like what the word of God has to say. There are some examples from the Bible that come to my mind. Jeremiah, they throw the prophet from the Old Testament in the cistern to try to shut him up. John the Baptist, Herod doesn't like what he has to say. Herodias doesn't like what he has to say.
Throw him in the dungeon.
Throw him in the dungeon, off with his head, to silence him. Stephen, in the book of Acts, he's stoned.
Stone him to death.
Yeah, him to death. Keep him quiet. So we see all those different times throughout the scriptures, and yet we see again and again, God's word still goes forth. God's word isn't bound. You can't silence it. Paul's right. But I think there's another good point here, too, for us to realize, is that God's word isn't bound to any one person.
Ah,
so,
okay.
So yeah. It wasn't bound to Jeremiah in the cistern. God's word could still go forth. John the Baptist beheaded. God's word was still shared. It was still spread. Stephen is stoned. God's word still went out. It wasn't bound up to just those individuals. It wasn't bound to Jeremiah, John the Baptist, to Stephen. It's not bound to the Apostle Paul. And it's also not bound to us as pastors, too. And I think that's important to point out. I shared a story with the congregation.
Okay. I'll share that now.
Okay, well, good. Here we go.
Let me get my milk and cookies.
Yeah, get your Oreos ready. Here we go.
All right.
At our Ascension, where I serve, in the hallway, they have these the portraits of all the past pastors.
Ah, okay.
This is very nice.
It is.
That's really neat. You've got the very first pastor, Pastor Olschlager, who served, and then Henschke, and then you have Pastor DeBerge, Pastor Spomer, and then you have the associate pastors on the other side. You got Pastor Knapp. And Pastor Mitch, I got them all in. Good.
Yep.
Well, now I've been there 3 years, and now it's time to have a portrait of Pastor
cool.
Clark. Pretty cool.
Yes.
I guess you got to put your time in for at least 3 years.
So do you have to sit for this? Will they be painting this, or how did?
Well, the first couple were painted.
Is that
it looks
right?
Like, yeah. So I don't know if we're gonna go that far, but yeah, it'll be a photograph, and I look forward to that. What a privilege to be. Added to this hall, this line of people over the past 80 years, this year celebrating our 80th anniversary, of people that God has called to share his word here in this place. Pretty cool. So here's how this works. So you have these beautiful portraits, and then they all have these really nice wooden frames.
Yes.
I mean, they look classy. But the thing of it is that the wooden frames, you want them to match. Because you don't want one guy having a nice frame and another guy having a crummy frame.
Then people will start comparing frames.
Yeah, start comparing frames. Rumors will fly.
Yeah.
It'll be terrible. So I'm going to get my picture taken, my picture up on the wall. And our church secretary, administrative assistant, Sherry, does a fantastic job. She's on top of things. And so she decides it's time to order a new frame for Pastor Clark's picture. Yeah, okay, I know what you're looking for. Yeah.
By the way, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
I'm building up to it, all right? Here it is. So she's ordering this frame for Pastor Clark's picture.
Yeah.
Well, and she figures, well, you know, I might as well order two frames.
You should.
So they match.
That's right.
So in my office right now, I've got my frame, but then I've got the frame for the next guy.
Oh, nice thought.
I don't know who the next guy's going to be, but the next pastor's got his frame waiting for him over at Ascension. And it just kind of puts things into perspective for me. God's word wasn't bound to Pastor Olschlager, the first guy back in 1936. God's word is also not bound to Pastor Clark either. God's word is not bound to any one person, but it still goes forth. And that's a comfort to me. That's not something I'm upset about as a pastor. It has to be Pastor Clark. No, not at all. It's a comfort. That God's word isn't bound to me, and it better darn well not be bound to me, or else everyone's in trouble. But God's word still goes forth. If I die today, God would provide someone to proclaim and preach God's word to ascension. I have no doubt about it. And so just a reminder, God's word is not bound to any one person, whether it's the Apostle Paul, whether it's Jolly John, whether it's myself, whoever it is, but it still goes forth. God calls people, makes them his instruments to get that important job done.
You don't think your parish administrator knows something that they're not telling you. Yeah, you better get two frames.
You better get two frames.
We're going to need another one. Matt, what a wonderful, wonderful story.
Well, see, there
story,
was a point.
Though.
It took a while, but no. I just love that because it's a reminder to me as this extra frame sitting in my office right now. I think it's a good reminder.
And you know, see, that touches my heart because I've been at NUA since 38 years.
Well, see, that's why they don't have any portraits up of the pastors, because you're the only one.
Well, that's what I was going to say. They finally started doing that, and mine's the only one up
the
there at this point. But it is a comfort to remember that in a couple of years when I retire. And, you know, it's interesting because at Trinity, they're thinking that. They're small, and they're thinking, oh, I bet when Pastor Lukumsky retires in St. Paul, you know, they probably won't want to continue in the dual parish or whatever, which, of course, is all foolishness because St. Paul really, really needs Trinity Darmstadt to stay in existence as well. And it is nice. And thank you if any of our members are listening. No, the gospel is going to go on. It's not even bound to a guy who's been there 38 years. That isn't, no. No, it'll go a long way. After that, it's been going on way before. Well, Trinity, 150 years. You know?
Yeah, incredible.
So, So that's, and it is. It's a comforting thought to know that it's not really all dependent upon me. Never has been, and never will be. It's just about what he said. Remember Jesus Christ. That's what it's always been about. So that's a neat story.
Yeah. And I was thinking of you too, you know, with the long tenure, whoever that next guy is over New Athens, that God raises up, God's word isn't bound. And I wonder if people did have that fear, because here's Paul, the guy who traveled,
yes.
You know, these multiple missionary journeys all around the Mediterranean. People know him. They know Paul. He helped to perhaps plant their church or to share the gospel initially, to encourage. They've received letters, epistles from him. And now here he is chained up, about to die. What's going to happen? And for Paul to be able to write these words, God's word is not bound. What an encouragement to those early Christians that had to be.
See, now you got me. And they'd gone through that with the Apostle John. You know, he was
sure,
the last man standing.
Sure.
Yeah, we thought, oh, well, that's it. That'll be the end of the church. Well, no. Then we had the Apostle Paul. Well, that's a good point, Matt. And so now Paul's going, but again, how many years ago was that? And we're still doing it. We're
exactly.
still exhorting people to remember Jesus Christ.
Every generation, God raises up people to share his word. And I'm not just talking pastors. Pastors, most certainly, but also God's people listening today.
Day to day, yeah.
God's word is not bound. Yeah.
I just, real quick, this is what Luther said, too. Because, you know, everyone thought, oh, it's the Reformation, it's Luther. And I think that's one of the profound things that he said over and over again. No, it's never about me. It's always been about the gospel. When I die, the gospel will continue. And indeed, that's the promise, right? That this word will continue to be proclaimed until it is proclaimed until all nations. So it's just the promise God made.
Exactly. God's just keeping his promise. He's keeping it through us.
Yeah.
Those people who have the privilege of sharing that word. So in Paul's case, who's got him bound up?
Oh, it's the Romans, isn't it?
Yeah, so, I mean, you got the Jewish religious leaders don't like it, but ultimately, here in Rome, we've got the civil authorities don't like it, right? And I think of today, too, different places where there's attempts to bind God's word. You hear these atrocities happening in North Korea, for instance, under a dictatorship that all worship is oppressed there, if it's not emperor worship, basically. But specifically, Christianity is oppressed. You hear of how people recently, just last month, reports that they were crucified and burned and crushed under steamrollers. Just terrible, terrible things. Atrocities. But then you also hear these reports about how the church is growing in North Korea, too.
Is that right?
I mean, again, God's word cannot be bound. And in spite of the best efforts to try to silence it, to stomp it out, it's not going to happen. So there's reports that, the official report from North Korea, there's about 15,000, if that many, Christians But other people estimate there's over 100,000 Christians. People meeting in secret house churches, perhaps some of these churches in existence from before the days of the Korean War, and Christians still meeting and still worshiping. So it's almost like a paradox, though, to think about it, that when God's word is chained up, when people try to do that, the more it's unbound, the more people try to silence it, the more it's proclaimed, the more that it's oppressed, the more people really treasure God's word.
You know, it's almost ironic, Matt, because I'm thinking on those instances where society kind of says, oh, well, do whatever you want to do, preach the word of God all you want, then that's almost worse for us, because it seems like then it just becomes complacent and people take it for granted.
It seems counterintuitive. It seems like it doesn't make sense, but it's just when it's when it's bound, or there's an attempt for it to be bound, boy, it seems like it's just all the more proclaimed. Well, and all of this, you know, we keep in mind the one who's the Word made flesh, who people try to bind up to, right?
Yes, Jesus,
bound at his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, bound and brought before on trial before Pilate and Herod and all others, bound to the cross itself with nails. But of course, bound in a tomb.
That's what I was thinking.
Sealed up in a tomb, right?
Yeah.
With a seal, with the guard placed, literally bound up with those grave claws.
Yep.
Oh, I like that picture. But again, nothing could keep Jesus bound. Not the chains, not the nails of the cross, not the empty tomb. No, he bursts forth. Verse 4, vain the stone, vain the watch and the seal. He arises, and because Jesus couldn't be bound, because he rose, we rise too.
Yep.
Yeah, we can't be bound by death.
And you know, that's a really personal promise, because I think a lot of times in our personal lives, we feel like our faith is being bound up, whether it be because of illness or we had a funeral of one of the stalwarts of our church this last week. And so these crises and these trials, it feels like we're being bound. But like you said, no, actually, especially in the case of a funeral, that's where Christ actually explodes, comes out, because that's the fulfillment of the promises of eternal life and heaven and all that.
Yeah, most definitely. So with the time we have left, I thought I would close with a prayer. This is from the Lutheran hymnal. You're familiar with this, right?
I remember that. I grew up with that.
Of course. I think two generations of Lutherans grew up with this hymnal. It's from the early 1940s. And there's a prayer that's prayed almost every week. You celebrate communion. On page 14 here, but it's this colic for the church, and it talks about exactly this topic, God's word being bound. We pray that it's not bound. And so we'll pray this prayer. I thought it'd be a good way to wrap up the show.
All right.
Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, unto thy church, thy Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which cometh down from above, that thy word, as becometh it, may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and the edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve thee, and in the confession of thy name abide unto the end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Man, beautiful, beautiful prayer. Could I ask you a practical question?
Sure.
What service was that collect in?
Oh, page 14, I think it's the one with right before Holy Communion.
Okay.
The collect for the church.
And we don't have that in the new hymn book?
I would have to look that up, John.
Okay.
We might have it in one of the settings.
All right. Well, that's a neat
But it's
prayer.
A good one. It's
I've
a keeper.
I'm going to look it up when I get home, because we're not using that one. I want to start using it.
You got the nice these and thous, and what a prayer in any day and age, but in our day and age, to continue to pray that that word of God not be bound, but have free course as we preach it, as God's people share it too. All right. Well, that about covers it this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. That was an excellent, nice study, Matt.
Oh, well, thanks. And then next week we're looking at...
Oh, don't look at me. I know it's my job,
okay,
but I'm not sure. Well, it's a surprise episode next week.
It's a surprise. Will there be Oreos? I hope so.
We hope so.
Find out next week.
We'll look for them in the mail.
We'll see you next week on Wrestling with the Basics.